presenting a new exciting radio program featuring the thrilling adventures of
Comic Dorks.
Thrilling adventure, intense excitement, pounding action, and spine-tingling mystery.
Everybody, and welcome back to Comic Dorks. This is Comic Dorks episode 10, the big 10, level 10, everybody. We dinged level 10. My name is Scott Johnson. I'm joined today by none other than Mr. Scott Kurtz. Hello, Scott Kurtz.
Hello.
Good to see you. Also, Steven Schleicher. Hello, Steven.
Hey, what's up?
And then Mark Spagnolo. Hello, Mark.
How you doing?
I'm good, man. Look, at everybody's here.
Word.
This feels good.
Scott remembered there's a show he's a part of.
Hey, it's in Italian. When you're here, you're family, all right? We had
over there.
me and Schleicher won it last week, and you know, stuff happens to schedules, but it's always good to have everybody in the same room, and there's not plenty to talk about this week, I think, stuff to dive right into. Did anybody go to Denver Comic Con real quick? Was that a thing Scott Kurtz went to? No?
I didn't. You know what? There's a couple cons that I'm finding out about after the fact.
Yeah.
And I didn't even know there was a Denver Comic Con.
It's been going on for a couple of years now. One of my coworkers at my real world job went, and he said it was just packed, crazy packed on Saturday.
Yeah.
And on Friday, they were, I don't think, prepared for the number of people that showed up. On Saturday, they ended up turning away 6,000 people who showed up and couldn't get in.
Were these pre-sold tickets? Were these people
No,
the
they
door?
Weren't pre-sold. They were people that showed up to try to get in at the door.
Seems like a problem you want to have if you're trying to grow.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's a good problem to have.
Yeah, it's funny because it was not really on anybody's radar even last year. It was kind of Brian Ibbett.
It just came and went.
Brian Ibbett went to it. He said it was all right. He lives in Denver, so it was an easy go. And he said it was okay. But this year he went and he said it was just crazy, way more like celebrity types, way more like, you know, San Diego looking Comic Con kind of things going on. The only thing that was weird is Stan Lee was scheduled and then canceled last minute.
Yeah, and then he showed up on the set of Spider-Man 3.
Yeah,
Spider-Man 2.
Which is probably what he was doing, I'm guessing. Just his little weird cameo thing. But anyway, it seems like it's growing and kind of interesting. And Phoenix Comic Con happened since we last talked to Mark, and you went to that, yeah?
I was supposed to.
Oh, you didn't go? What happened?
It's the same thing here. Phoenix Comic Con is getting huge, and there's every year it's just better and better and more cooler people are showing up, and it's a big spectacle. So what happened is a baby and no sleep and stupid shit. And and it was like we could sit home and actually recuperate, or we can go and it's hot and do the whole Comic-Con thing. So we actually bailed, and I didn't go.
Oh,
so I'm kind of
bad.
Yeah, in retrospect, want to kick myself. But
that's
I
all right. You still have an iPad signed by Stan Lee, don't you?
If someone didn't rub the crap off the back.
Shite.
Mateo.
Kids, dude.
Exactly, yeah. But anyway, I was excited
well,
to go.
He should shellack it.
He should have, right?
Seal that thing in plastic or something.
That'll stick. But I wanted to see if it was any different than last year because it does keep growing.
Yeah.
I wonder, just to throw this out there, I wonder if the increase in attendance at a lot of these comic conventions isn't due to the big movies and how well they're doing. I mean, last year Avengers topped a billion, Iron Man 3 topped a billion already. It looks like Man of Steel is on track to top $1 billion very quickly.
Yeah.
I wonder if any of that has a role in getting people out to some of these conventions, especially with a lot of the star power that shows up.
Well, you could also argue that the Comic Cons in general have just built reputations and have gotten bigger and louder, and it's cool to be a geek now, and
more mainstream awareness too.
Sure. So if you got a kid and you get a 10-year-old and you're trying to think of a cool Saturday and you live somewhere that's close to a con, seems like the perfect match.
Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, so of all of us, Kurtz gets the most travel time in the year. Is that a con on your radar now because of all this hype, or does it not really?
No, actually, I mean, not to talk shit, but I heard a lot of bad things about the Phoenix Comic Con from people who attended.
Really?
Yeah, Terry Moore, who does Strangers in Paradise and Echo, and he showed up to two panels he was supposed to be a part of and found out, no, you're not a part of the panel. Like, it was a real cluster F.
Oh, jeez.
One of them got asked to be on
and didn't get on.
Yeah, then he shows up and they're like, no, you're not on this panel.
Shit.
And there was a fire alarm tripped and people left and had to come back.
Yeah, I did hear about that, yeah.
Oh, man.
Boy, I heard some bad things about it.
Yeah.
Well, this was the year for me to miss then.
Well, you said it was all right last year, right? You had a good time.
Yeah, last year was fine.
It wasn't quite as crazy as
it was. It's one of those things where, like, I would never go to the Phoenix Comic Con because the idea of going to Phoenix in the summer is not appealing to me.
Yeah. Why not? Come on.
It's only beautiful. It's only 1,000 degrees.
Nope.
I got 106 reasons why not.
Hello? Oh, no.
What? Did you lose us? Did you mute us? I think he muted us.
We hear him.
Yeah, we can hear you. We hear you, Scotty. Can you hear us? I'm going to say, we hear you. There you go.
Oh, no. Now it's catching up.
Oh, weird. Did your internet took a shite? Are you there?
He'll be here in 5 minutes.
Steven, you're here, right?
Oh yeah, I'm here. Okay. I got fiber installed at the home yesterday.
Oh,
so.
You did? Oh my gosh, you bastard!
Yeah, nice. It's great.
Feel good?
Oh yeah, and plus I'm saving like $60 a month from
you're
where
kidding?
It was before.
Over where you were before. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, how's it going? Hello. Scott Kurtz, everybody.
Sorry, yeah, the wife decided to. Start a video FaceTime upstairs with the new niece and killed my internet connection. Whoops.
Yeah, but I feel bad. That's a good quality thing to be doing. There's nothing wrong with that.
That baby ain't doing nothing right now.
That baby's not going anywhere.
Their baby can barely hold its head up.
That's all
no,
good.
No, I will avoid cons in Phoenix and Atlanta and hot states in the summer.
Yeah.
There's no need.
I don't love that either. I'm not a huge heat guy. Although I like Vegas. I like Vegas in the hot summer.
That's a dry heat, though. That's a different.
Yeah, but so is the Phoenix heat.
Same as Phoenix.
Yeah, the Phoenix heat. I mean, you literally, I don't know where you guys get your water. Are you still buying that off Idaho or something? What's going on down there?
Mine comes out of the hose and the tap. So.
Okay, cool. You're pretty much just concerned with the end point there and who cares where it comes from. But it's so, I remember last time I was down there visiting my brother and I just thought I was going to die. And so every time this rolls around, I think, hey, maybe we should go down there. And Kim's like, yeah, we should. And then I go, yeah, it's 110.
Yeah.
I don't want to do that.
Yeah, it is a dry heat, but you know what dry heat is? The same thing that you get when you open your oven and you stick your face in there. That's dry too.
That's
and
true.
Once you get to a certain temperature, hot is hot.
Yeah, it's also stinky when you do that in your oven, and it's like that in Phoenix in some places too.
That's true.
Downtown Phoenix.
It smells like pee.
That's right. Pee and hobos. you said that in the way it sounded like you were going to defend the hobo pee. Say more.
Huh?
I still like using that occasionally. All right, well, let's get into the nitty-gritty of the news and see what's what.
The stolen plans of the Vibrator were destroyed, along with the only two criminals who knew how to operate it.
Action Comics number one, copy of this aged comic. How old is it now? 60 or, let's see, what,
75
years. 75
years
old? Jeez, 38, 39, was it? 39.
38.
38, was it? All right. You get my dates right.
Superman 38, Batman 39, Wonder Woman number 4 in 1940.
Dude paid 10 grand for a house in Minnesota, found this inside the wall, got in a fight with his in-laws somehow. I don't know what their deal was. Tore the back cover a little bit more than it was already aged.
Can you imagine?
Probably cut a third off the value by doing that, but it's still already fetching over $100,000. And he'll more than make up his investment in that crappy house.
They buy 10 more houses.
Yeah, they were just going to demolish it. So it's not like, you know, I think he was just going to try to hawk it off to some development company for a slight profit. But to find that stuck in a wall somewhere, that's pretty awesome. And so I wanted to ask you guys, if you were examining your insulation of your $10,000 property and you found your 1938 Action Comics number one hidden in the wall, what would you do with it? Would you sell it, or would you hang on to it, or at the very least have it appraised? Like, what would you do?
I would have it inspected for asbestos first before I go anywhere near it.
And then mouse poop.
Yeah.
Yeah, and mouse poop.
Then I'd read it. Then I'd buy the x-ray glasses from the back, and then I'd go take it in.
I'd definitely make some phone calls right away, you know, just because who knows? I wonder if the guy even had any idea what he had when he saw it.
Yeah, probably. That's a good point. Who knows? Maybe if he's fighting over his in-laws with it, at some point they had two hands on it, two grubby hands on it. That doesn't seem like they were playing their cards right. But Kurtz, would you sell it? Would you keep it?
I would appraise it.
Yeah.
And slab it if that doesn't ruin it. Of course, I don't think it does.
I don't think so.
No. And then I would insure it.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. And I'd keep it because it's only going to go up in value. So
that's true. And if you can freeze it in time,
yeah,
best
and
you can.
Insure it though. That's the important thing because if there's a house fire and I lose it, then there's no point in keeping it.
So this was an investment property, or I mean, at $10,000, a $100,000 comic book is something this guy would want to sell, unless he's like you said, he's doing something to turn it or flip it or do something with it.
Well, my understanding was, and I could be wrong, and Stephen, correct me if I am, but I think the deal was, is he paid $100 more for it than the city or something like that, and that's how he got it on auction.
Yeah, I don't remember the full story on that.
And the comic was in the wall?
Yeah, in the insulation.
Wall, it's not a high grade. I mean, it's graded at a 1.5. It's already been slapped.
Right?
No, I mean, unless you're Nicolas Cage and you're trying to sell your Action Comics number one, you know, his, I think, was a 7 or an 8 or something like that, and it was worth millions of dollars. This one at a 1.5, as Scott mentioned, is probably about $100,000 to $120,000. That's still, I mean, again, depending on if this guy needed the money or not, this is a pretty good buy.
Well, the funny thing is the article said that there was, I guess, the last one that had sold at auction went for $2 million.
Yeah, that was a 5-6 or something like that, I think. Right?
We don't probably know this, but how many are in existence now?
Anymore? One more than what we thought there was.
Guess so, dude.
I'm going to have to go do a quick search. I think there was less than 20 of them in existence still.
Okay. Wow. I would love one.
I'm just trying to think of the circumstances that would result in a comic book being inside the wall. And I'm thinking back to my house that I grew up in. And I hope nobody ever tries to renovate that. They might find like a porno magazine or something I was hiding from my mom. So I put it in the wall.
Old Bush Quarterly or some weird thing from your childhood.
Totally.
Jammed all in there.
That was my favorite. But, but you know, you wonder, like, is this a kid hiding a comic book from his mom? Or, like, why would a comic book end up in the wall?
That isn't – there's probably some really – well, maybe it's not that interesting, but there's some story behind this. It'd be cool to figure out.
According to Ask.com, it is believed there are about 100 copies 100, in existence.
Yeah. Okay. And they're – but not all accounted for, though, right? Or maybe they are. I don't know.
Private collections, ones that have been known, some that have gone through auctions. I mean, it seems like now we're hitting about – I don't know, an Action Comics or a Detective or a Amazing Fantasy 15. Seems like we're hitting one of those a year on an auction somewhere.
Well, so here's how my brain thinks. If I owned this or if I had one of these, no matter what the rating, 1.5, I don't care how low it is, I would worry. I do what Scott says, you insure it, you protect it, you do all that. But if you're going to keep it, you better be willing to like crank up all your home security. It's like suddenly you're a target because you've got one of these like the hottest things you could ever collect in your house. And while they're here, they'll just go ahead and take your other expensive shit.
Well, I mean, that's what happened to Nicolas Cage. I mean, remember he had a whole bunch of comics, including one of the Action Comics. And somebody came in to do some housework, saw it sitting there. I don't know how he got in his safe or if he had it on display or whatever, but they walked off with it. And he only just recently, I think in the last year or two, got it back.
Yeah, they found it or something happened, right?
Yeah.
Well, all right. Good luck to everybody involved. And Superman cool. just keeps on. It's nice timing, too. You got Man of Steel right around the corner.
Nice timing indeed, you say.
Suspicious.
How weird. Let's see. More DC news. DC pricing policy on digital comics now in place. This is good. Now, this is down from what, Steve? It used to be a...
No.
What was the deal?
No.
I think
this
you
is not a good
deal. This,
I thought it was the other way. I thought we were getting a deal.
When DC Comics announced that they were going to digital firsts, or same as a day and date publishing, they announced that, hey, we're going to keep the price, the same price as what you pay at the comic book store at $2.99 or $3.99 or whatever it was. And then after a month release on the Comixology site, they would drop it by a dollar. So $2.99 comics become $1.99 comics. And there were a lot of people who were saying, hey, I can wait a month to read that Batman or that Superman or that Action Comics. No problem for $1.99.
Sure.
Well, just a few days ago, people jumped in to buy their May books. And they're like, hey, Comixology, how come the price hasn't dropped? And Comixology said, hey, DC changed their policy and now you have to wait 8 weeks. Before the price drops.
Why would that? Well, you know what that means. That means probably too many people were waiting a month, and now two months is too long to wait. So
a month is nothing.
A month is really nothing. And there could have, and I don't know, there could be a lot of outcry from the retailers that the publishers aren't doing enough to protect them and keep them afloat. And so, hey, here's a gesture. All these people that are going to digital, we'll stretch this out another month so there's a greater incentive to go back to the comic book store. Or it could just be simple greed. I mean, you are making a third of the price or the third of the cover price just because you're going through the digital and you're not dealing with paper, you're not dealing with shipping, you're not dealing with a bunch of other stuff.
Yeah.
Apple gets a third, Comixology gets a third, and the publisher gets a third.
What is the reason that this is so different than the way Marvel handles their stuff digitally?
Well,
just in terms of the pricing, like for instance, with Marvel, you're starting at $3.99. At least I'm using Spider-Man as one of the only examples I can give. You don't get a price drop until like 7 months later. So I think if you go back to, let's say, Superior, actually it would be back into Amazing Spider-Man.
Right.
Toward the end of that series, issue $6.97, the price drops to $1.99. So it drops $2. But you got to go all the way back to November 2012 to get that. So like Marvel's policy is way worse than what DC is doing.
Well, it seems like their policy is more, I mean, argue with this and tell me if I'm crazy, but it seems like their policy is more geared to, you can get it this way if you want it. And yeah, if you want to wait a long time, I guess that's an option, but really we'd like you to get an unlimited subscription. We'd like you to come do that with us. Now I know you don't get day and date with that, but I feel like they're, I feel like Marvel's ultimate goal and therefore whoever cares at DC or at Disney's goal is to eventually get it to the point that they are the place you get it somehow. It's not, there is no middleman. They don't like having Apple and Comixology in the mix. They'd really like to be their own thing. They don't know how to do that yet or what to do to make that happen. But I think they don't care about this short term as much. I think DC did and does. I just think they were probably just getting dinged in a month more than they wanted. And they thought, 2 months, all right, well, maybe that will be, you know. I thought it was the other way around. I thought it went from 2 to 1. No. So I've got this all backwards in my head.
Man, I'd really like to see some data on this, because the thing that pisses me off about it is that this is, I can't imagine that day and date bites too much into.
I can't imagine that either. And that's the bad thing is no one will release actual numbers. Now, of course, we could get Jim Zub on the line, and he would tell us how much he's selling through Image.
Well,
that would give us kind of an adjustment, but
I can tell
still.
You how much I'm selling through Image. It's shit on a shingle. But what I'm talking about is if day and date sales of a digital comic for, say, the latest Avengers doesn't really bite into sales of the print copy, same copy of the same issue of Avengers, then that digital sale is a tertiary income stream for Marvel. It's not even secondary, because the trade paperback that they're going to collect that thing into is secondary. Yeah. It's a tertiary income stream that they're getting in advance. So they have room to play, because I can't imagine that the cost involved in putting these comics on Comixology is anything but nominal for them.
Yeah, it's got to be small. Well, yeah, probably right.
So I think greed is the answer.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. And I forgot, somebody had posted this on Twitter earlier in the month, I think it was Publishers Weekly or something, had actually done the study and showed that the publisher actually makes a larger profit margin when they sell stuff electronically than they do by going a direct route. And this is book publishers, not comic book publishers, but I'm going to bet that the same kind of math lines up because of the shipping and distribution and printing costs eats out of their part of the pie. And if they're doing it electronically and they can keep more of that pie themselves, then it's a money grab.
I'm sure that that's true. But here's the thing. Okay, call it greed or call it business smart or not. But they're basically saying, I'm sure this is what they're doing. They've seen data. The data suggests that if you are really into Marvel and you're also into the brave new world of digital consumption, you're buying day and date and you don't care that it's an extra dollar or $2. You're just doing it because you love that book and you can't wait to get it. And you really prefer this new distribution method. If they see enough of that going on, they have no motivation at all to cut it. More than 7 months later. Why would they? Everybody's been willing to pay it. If that's what the large numbers show, and this helps lessen the sting of the third from Apple and the third from Comixology and so on.
Saying they're going to lower the price of an issue of a comic 8 months after it comes out is the same thing as saying they're not going to lower it.
Yeah, that's true.
Because that's the problem with comics, is that when it comes to floppies, and I guess this is the digital version of a floppy, no, you can't fucking sell it after it's been on the shelf for a month.
It goes to the dollar bin, the 50 cent bin, the quarter bin.
It goes to the quarter bin or into the back issue thing, and the comic book shops are stuck with it. So this is them saying, or DC saying, we're not going to ever sell it for cheaper because no one's buying it for cheaper. So they might as well just not do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Why? Well, we can call it, some are going to say it's nefarious or weird or whatever, but I think it's just them saying, well, it's not a problem. Why are we making this big cut? It's not really increasing sales. People who really want stuff are buying it week to week anyway, or month to month. So
they're cutting off their nose to spite their face though, because if they would just lower the price, they'd sell.
Yeah,
they
sell
so
more.
Much more.
Oh,
yeah.
I completely agree.
I mean, you look at Monkey Brain Comics, for example. Their stuff all sells for 99 cents.
Yeah. And I love it.
Yeah. And well, I'm not saying that they're selling more than DC, but
yeah.
Look what happened when Marvel offered 700 for free. Mm-hmm. It wrecked it.
Yeah, it destroyed everybody involved. You're totally right. Like I am so more into like issues of The Killer and some of these other weird indies that I'm picking up lately. Not just because they're weird indies and I like that anyway, but because they're a freaking buck and it's this low entry into something that I am going to end up buying that whole collection, that whole volume 2 and 3, or I'm going to buy them all individual issues and even pay more than I should or whatever. I'm going to spend more in their dollar store than I am in their freaking Macy's, you know, DC Marvel store equivalent. And that's you're right. It is backwards thinking, but I just think they have numbers that tell them they don't have to be forward thinking yet. That this the time has not come for them to make the big cut. That's all. So
it'll be interesting to see what they do. I mean, like we talked about in the past about this being something you don't actually own. There's nothing tangible here. You're renting the access to this thing. You know. So I mean, as soon as people
it pisses me off every time I go and I buy a comic, it's a tax. It's them saying, no, we don't sell digital comics cheaper. We are punishing you. We'll let you read it on your iPad, but you have to pay the same price as a regular comic.
Yeah, totally.
The end. Yeah. We're not going to sell you another product.
Right.
We're not going to sell you a digital product. And we're not even going to sell it to you because you don't even own it.
Nope, you can borrow it.
Yeah.
I don't like any of this.
Long-term rental.
Guys, it really is like if your buddy bought a copy of Avengers and you said, can I read that? And he goes, yeah, if you pay me $3.99 for it.
You're basically, yeah. Yeah, Comixology is our buddy, but we don't really like him that much. Like, he doesn't give us any other value.
I get angrier and angrier about it. Like, I am using Comixology a lot since I started doing this podcast.
Yeah.
Because I can't make it out to the shop all the time. And if I'm going to spend the money either way, at least I save the gas money.
Sure.
And whenever I open Comixology now and see my reading list, which is not the same as looking at my bookshelf of trades that's the stuff that I love and I'm keeping. Mm-hmm. When I'm looking at my reading list, I just get – the bigger it gets, the more pissed I get. all new Bendis, all new X-Men's on here, I want to fucking murder someone.
Yeah, it's irritating.
And now that I've read Hawkeye on Comixology, I'm pissed. Because I don't have the trade to reference or go look at, and I don't want to spend the same. I have to buy it twice now.
Yeah, that's a really good point. That's the stinker. So if you read a bunch of experimental stuff and you're like, yeah, that was really cool, but yeah, it's not going to take a. I'm never going to buy a collection of this, but it was a fun read.
Yeah,
that's fine. But when you stumble into something like Hawkeye, which turns out to be one of the best series this year, and you go, well, shit. I do want that on the shelf. I want a big hardback thing. I want to have that on the coffee table. I want to show all my friends. Go spend the money again because you can't do anything.
And you know what's weird is conversely, I want the opposite for video. Like I just started watching. I never seen Deadwood. I watched all three seasons of Deadwood.
So good,
just so good. And it's like, okay, I want to be married to Ian McShane now. He's the greatest actor of all time. And I'm like, oh wow, he was in Britain's version of Murder She Wrote in the 80s. Yep. He had his own. It was called Lovejoy, and I want to watch it.
Yep.
No way for me to do it unless I go buy DVDs, and I refuse. Right, I just want to watch it on my iPad.
Right. But you might want to own. It's Deadwood.
No, I mean,
no, I don't. I have
not bought a DVD in 3 years.
Well, what do you suppose the difference is?
Get it through the iTunes, and I can put it on my server.
No, I'm with you.
I can watch it anywhere,
It's all Netflix, Hulu, and freaking Amazon, and everything in my house. So
I'm with you. I'll tell you why. Because, maybe it's different for me because I draw comics, but I reference my comics a lot. I go back and I look at them again.
Yes.
And I don't reference movies that way. There's a handful of movies I'll watch over and over and over and over and over. But I don't I mean, if
you may even expect to pay those again. Like, I know that I'll see Raiders of the Lost Ark 10 different ways, and I'm probably going to pay for 4 or 5 of those ways because I always watch that movie and it's badass and I love it.
Sure. You'll watch
it. Same way with Star Wars.
Yeah. Right.
Oh, yeah,
right.
Exactly.
Right. Well, but, maybe it's a little bit different depending on what we do because I've started to move away, and I've talked about this for a long time, moving away from the print because I've got, you know, 60 long boxes full of comics and I'm running out of space to store comics. And electronically, I can access it very easily. And Scott, if I need to go and reference something, the publishers send me electronic review copies. I dump those all into Comic Book Lover. And if I need to look up something, I can just type it up, pull it up real quick, find the full issue. If I need to grab a frame or reference a frame, it's easy for me. Now, for you, I can understand a little bit different because maybe you want to pick it up and hold it and get a little closer than maybe what you can in an electronic copy.
I wanted to make Table Titans very much feel like a European comic. And formatting and everything. And one of the first things I bought on Comixology was the Magic Flute, which is the very first Spirou comic by Peyo that introduced the Smurfs.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I paid download off Comixology and I home screen, sleep button, simul push, screenshot of a bunch of stuff. Felt like I was stealing it, you know. But... I mean, I bought it. I just was taking screenshots of stuff to bring over for reference. But
sure.
I don't know. And maybe it's just old school. I like having 3 bookshelves of trades I can turn. It's not that I don't like the idea of it all being on my iPad either, but you getting review copies that are in Comics Lover that are files that you can move from hard drive to hard drive are not the same thing. I mean, gosh, even the files I own, PVP is 15 years old. There's not one, well, there is, I guess the first year, but past the first year, there's not a fucking scrap of paper with comics on them. I've done them all digitally. And when the big EMP hits, I've lost them all. They're gone forever.
Yep.
I'm trying to figure out a way to print them.
I think about this all the time.
How, you know, what are you going to do?
Oh, I hate the EMP idea. That's the ultimate terrible thing for anybody making anything right now.
When it's that sun flare hits.
Oh, we're
shit. That's what happened to Atlantis, right?
Yeah.
They stored everything digitally and then.
Is that what happened?
Sun flare, yeah.
You know, the only memory I have, not memory, but the only thing I think about when someone says Atlantis, I think of that movie, Journey to the Center of the Earth.
Oh, yeah.
When they find Atlantis and somebody thinks they found fresh bread and he runs over to grab it and it crumbles to dust in his hand. That is the most vivid, weird scene that I still have in my head. I think about it all the time. Isn't that weird? I don't know what that means. There's something about, there's probably some psychological something, but this idea of we found Atlantis, we haven't eaten for 40 days, everybody's about had it, we're about to eat each other. Oh, look, stacks of bread in this Atlantean town of whatever it was, and they run over and grab it, and it just goes poof.
Oh, breadcrumbs.
Isn't that weird, right? Anyway, so when the EMP hits, we got to... I'm not going to be good to society.
Comic
I'm not
books
worth
are
going to
be the least of my worries.
I'm not going to be good to society.
I'm not. They're not going to use me for anything. You either. We're screwed, dude. They're going to have to. I mean, Mark can build shit. You're the one. You're the safe one, dude.
Oh, I thought you meant I'm not going to be good to society. Like I'm just going to start killing people.
Oh no, no, heavens no. Well, maybe I will. But like,
it's gone.
Wood Whisperer over there. He's going to build like shelters and weapons and things, and I'm just going to be worthless.
What will people do without the morning stream, though?
That's what I'm saying. But they won't give two shits then. They'll be like, oh, that was fun, but now it's the zombies or whatever, and we don't need you anymore. So, yeah, that'll all be real weird. But so I, to turn this conversation back to, I think, the point of it, Mark, you have said to me many times, and what led partially to the show being a thing, being a show, is this idea that digital comics put you back in the seat of, oh, man, I'm way back into comics again.
Totally.
And I mean, how do you, I know, I feel like we've hashed this particular topic to death, but through the viewing lens of today's, you know, pricing stuff, does that diminish your reignition of comic love or is it, do you care? Is this the,
you know what, at this point in my life, it's $3, you know, it's $4. I don't think too much about it because it's just in the grand scheme of things for my entertainment, it's worth it regardless. Fundamentally, some of the stuff bugs me because I do feel that anything that's in a digital format should be cheaper than its counterpart in a tangible, you know, medium.
Yeah.
So when I buy a book, there is that kind of feeling like, oh, I should be entitled, or a movie. If I buy the DVD, I should be entitled to a digital version. But if I buy the digital version, I sure as hell don't feel entitled to the actual, you know, book or the DVD itself. So there is this natural feeling that digital stuff is not as valuable because it's bits and it's not costing that person or the company money to produce that one thing. You know, there's an infinite amount available.
Is it not the same? So it's not the same scale, though, if I was to throw out the example of a bestseller hits the market in hardbound only. There's no paperback yet. That thing's $24.95 or $39 or whatever. And if I go buy the Kindle version, I'm going to pay $9. It seems like the right. book side has figured it out. That's a different scale, but they've figured it out. 40 versus 10. Why can't digital comics go and do the same thing? $3.99 and a buck or whatever.
Well, and I think DC had it right because if you have, you know, how they toy with the idea of having movies releasing at home, and would you pay even more to be able to get that movie on the release day at home?
I certainly would.
And most people would. So there is that initial value. There's a window of time where you can charge the same amount and people will be happy to pay it or more. But in the case of comics, you would think that that diminishes quickly. And I think 1 month was probably the sweet spot. And the 2 month thing, I think, is just as bad as Marvel's 7 month.
Yeah.
Well, they also may be thinking, let me ask you this, Scott Johnson, how many apps did you buy this week?
How many apps? Oh, man, that is one of my problems. I probably bought probably 5 or 6 apps.
It's an impulse buy, right?
Yeah, it is.
You're scrolling through the Comixology store. Oh, I'll read Daredevil and I'll read Hawkeye and I'll read Avengers and I'll read Batman and click, click, click,
and
click.
And I impulse buy through there all the time when they're a dollar.
And so, but if you're not paying attention to price and suddenly now you're clicking, clicking, clicking.
Well, I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, as soon as I buy Hawkeye and the latest Batman and something else that's fresh off the press, I am like, you know, I'm into my purchases, $15 plus whatever apps I bought that week. It starts to add up.
Oh yeah, it does.
But if they were dollar, you know, a dollar here, dollar there, this would be a lot easier for me to consume.
I will give Comixology a little plug here, so we're not just beating the crap out of them. And it's not really them that's pricing this; it's the publisher. But every Monday they have their 99-cent sale.
Yeah.
And they will have whole runs of comics on sale for 99 cents.
Yeah.
So be on the lookout for those. You can get some really good deals that way.
Let me explain this real quick. If I spend, if I am willing to spend on the Comixology store, let's see, they're $3.99, so 4 times 4 is what, 24? What's 4 times 4? 24. So if I'm willing,
16.
Fine. If I'm willing to spend 16, I don't do math. I hire someone to do math.
Me too.
If I'm willing to spend 16 to 20 bucks on Comixology a week, and that gets me 4 comics, my level of return of investment, in other words, the enjoyment I got out of that for the money I spent, is not very high.
Mm.
If I could get 8 comics for that, I'd be like, this is awesome. This is a lot of material for 20 bucks a month.
Right.
Okay. The cost to the people providing this entertainment to me does not change. Like, if I were to say to DC Comics, you know, I'd buy more of your comics if they were half price, they'd say, I agree, but it still costs me the same amount of money to make this. So I'm spending double to get you this value to make your return on investment.
Well,
but
except,
with this, it's not. Yeah. There's no increase of money to them.
Right.
So they're still going to only get 20 bucks out of me, but I'm happier and I'm going to keep buying them more.
Yeah, I totally agree.
It just does not make any sense. And I don't there's something keeping them from doing it right now, and I don't know what it is.
65-year-old men running a company who don't understand new media.
Probably.
It's probably that.
Yeah.
Is it still protecting the stores by making this digital environment less attractive?
At this point, I don't think so.
No,
I'll tell you this though, okay? It's more likely that they, not to protect the stores, but to not have to hear from the stores. Okay? For example, I'll give you a good comparison. The comics page in the newspaper was run not based on what was best content, but what caused the editor of that page the least amount of headache.
Oh, sure.
Okay, so you bought a new comic because you have friends that sell comics from the syndicates and you haven't bought a comic from this guy in a while and you want to keep him happy, so you buy his comic, even though it may not be the best comic. And then you don't drop comics that cause letters and you don't run comics that cause letters, because now you have letters. So it's, you know, so can I see a comic book company saying, hey, we can't fuck with the retailers, because if these retailers go out of business, we're fucked. I think it's less that than it doesn't matter what we're going to do. The retailers are going to succeed, or they're fucked either way. But please, I don't need to hear from this guy. I don't need to hear from Brian Hibbs. You know, right. I don't need to hear him at the convention this weekend.
Right.
I don't need him bending my ear. I can definitely see that happening.
Yeah, maybe. It's just such a weird thing where they're all still poking around. You know, DC's doing this change because they feel like they're not getting their money, or they want more money. So all of this stuff gets sussed out eventually, but I still say it gets sussed out in the form of actual subscriptions, and then it's just a fight for who controls that. Comixology would love to be it, but they probably won't be.
Do you think anyone at Warner Brothers gives a shit about DC beyond, we can make movies out of it?
No, no, no. That's the thing. And Disney should be feeling the same way about Marvel. We don't care about your publishing arm. All we care about is your properties. And that's, Disney came out and said when they bought Marvel, we're buying this for the vast character library. Not for comic books, for the character library that we can exploit through merchandise and movies and television series.
Right.
Warner Brothers should do the same thing. The only problem is you kind of got to keep the publisher alive, because that keeps the property alive.
I don't know. I feel like it's a topic that will keep coming up, and it probably will, because there's new wrinkles to it all the time. But you at home are encouraged to email us, give us your thoughts, tell us what's going on in your head about how you buy comics and how this DC thing affects you. And I'm just disappointed. I thought it was backwards, and now I'm pissed at him. talk about real quick, Steven, tell us about DC Comics announcing Choose Your Own Adventure comics. The hell are
they? Made this weird announcement this week that, and again, this ties right back into digital comics. They've got two different types of comics coming out. I think the launch is in October. The first one is DC Squared, and that is where they're adding sound effects and enhanced imagery. I don't know what that means. From the sample images I saw, it looked like they were adding drop shadows to everything. But they're adding things like sound effects and music tracks, and it sounds like a motion comic,
yeah,
to be honest.
It sounds that way to me.
And then the second thing that they have is DC Squared Multiverse, or DC 2 Multiverse. And this is basically where you choose your own adventure. If you want to follow Jim Gordon through this story, you get to follow Jim Gordon through this story. If instead you want to follow the villain, you follow the villain through the story. If you want to follow Batman through the story, you follow Batman through the story. And so you have all these different ways to read this story. And it's choose your own adventure is what it boils down to. It's not what does Jim Gordon do next? Please turn to page 68. It's nothing like that, but it sure kind of feels that way.
It's for the kids. So
I think
it ain't for me.
Well, to go back to the question of why
no decisions.
To go back to the question of why are they charging $2.99, $3.99, you pick, whether it's print or digital, I pick up a $3.99 comic, it takes me 15 minutes to read it.
Yeah.
And then I start going, well, that wasn't worth my $3.99.
Yeah.
You know, but if you can read it six different ways, following all these different paths, suddenly you're spending an hour in a comic, maybe suddenly it is worth that $4.
I mean, if it's done well, that actually sounds really fun. That sounds cool. I would pay money.
Isn't it
for
kind of
that.
The comic book version of movie alternate endings, kind of, sort of ish? You know,
well, this sounds like a whole lot more work.
Or video games, even.
Well, from what Steven described, it sounds like they're just kind of giving you an option to move down different paths. Is it actually resulting in different?
I don't
endings?
Think it results in different endings, but it just is following the story through a different perspective.
Right. Right.
Maybe. I don't know about all this bells and whistles and sounds and stuff. I like comics where my imagination is doing a lot of the work still. I mean, comics are already asking more of us.
This was the plot of a plot point of the movie Big.
Yeah, it was, dude. Where he pitched this to Robert Loggia in that freaking meeting. Remember?
Oh, that's
it was.
Right.
He pitched it.
Yep, yeah. You're right.
This was what he came up with.
Holy shit.
Yeah, electronic comic.
That is funny to me.
That is great.
Wow. I don't know what to even say now because now I'm starting to have conspiracies about why.
Mind blown.
Yeah.
Well, you know, wasn't, what was it called? Howard Stern's band as a kid was called Electric Comic Book or something like
yep,
that?
It was Electric Comic Book.
That's great.
For real? That was the name of it? Jeez. All right. So that's going on. Paul Jenkins leaving Marvel and DC. I didn't know he was at Marvel and DC. I thought he was
writing on and off for both of them for years. Said he's no longer going to work for the big publishers. He'd rather go and work for a company like Boom Studios.
Complains about bad editors, pushy executives, not letting creators tell their stories. Typical stuff for people who are mad and leaving?
Well, the more and more, and Jenkins goes into a big, long interview with Bleeding Cool, where he's basically ripping DC a new one and basically saying they don't know what they're doing with the new 52. They've got, you know, storylines that the writers have developed, but the editors suddenly come in at the last minute and tell them to dump everything for this big new initiative. And so they're left dropping stories. Or in the case of the, I guess, the straw that broke the camel's back, Jenkins had a 8-part series that went down to a 3-issue series that then got edited down to a 1-issue one shot. And he basically's had enough.
Wow. Not familiar with what he, what's his stuff? What is he known for?
The thing that he left on, DC Comics was Dark Knight. He's also done, what's the other one he's done? He did some stuff over at Marvel, a series that got canceled halfway through, and I forget which one it is, but he's just basically fed up with it, I guess.
Interesting.
And if you follow things like what Rob Liefeld went through, if you follow things like what some of the other creators, Gail Simone getting hired, fired, and rehired within a weekend at DC, it's just there's something weird going on, and Scott Kurtz could probably speak more about, you know, Image, we've talked about it before, and creator-owned projects, and you kind of get to do what you get to do.
Yeah, I mean, you've been in the system, Scott. They're different, the way they handle things and stuff, but do you feel like are we back to 1989 where we're going to have another exodus? I'm not trying to explode this out bigger than it is, but it does feel like there's a lot of discontent right now.
There is discontent, but that's more someone having a problem with a corporate structure. I mean, look, there are people who don't want to self-publish their own comics. You know, I know a lot of artists that I've met throughout the years that they just want to draw comics. They want to get a script and draw it. They're not interested in necessarily writing their own comics. So I think there'll always be creatives who want to work in that big two environment. I think the problem right now is that DC is probably just going through a tough management situation. I think a lot of people had problems with what they felt ethically was some issues. I know that a lot of people got butthurt over Before Watchmen and never got over it.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people are getting butthurt over all these movies making money and the creators not getting...
Watchmen, you mean the comic, like the prequel crap and all that?
The prequel comics, yeah. A lot of people had a problem with DC doing that. So, I mean, for years and years and years, Paul Levitz at DC blocked it. You know, Dio and Jim Lee and Geoff Johns were like, let's do it. Mm-hmm. Like, DC's in a weird spot right now, right? Jim Lee and Geoff Johns are there, so it's going to be fucking 90s at DC forever.
Yeah.
For a while. But
that's true.
It is. It just is. Look at the costumes. Look at everything. Everyone's wearing armor and has high collars. And for a while, don't forget, Wonder Woman had that 90s rolled up sleeve leather jacket. I mean, it's just the 90s. It's the 90s. Yeah.
It's weird.
But look, there's problems at all these other independent companies too, even Image. Dark Horse, Image. I don't, you know, I hear things all the time. Dark Horse never fucking pays. And Oni's got problems. And Image has got problems. Like, they're all just a bunch of people trying to get comics out. And the hiring practices are weird, and the people that get into comics are weird. We're all kind of weird. I mean, think about this. I mean, I said all the time at Image, all these companies, you know, we just hired a new marketing director here at, you know, so-and-so comics. Oh, what did you do? Did you go and, like, headhunt marketing people that went to marketing school? Oh no, we got this guy over here. He used to run conventions. We got this guy over here. He used to work at this comic book company. Right. Does he have any marketing skills? No, no, no need. No need for accounting skills for the accountants. No need for marketing skills for the marketers. It's all this incestuous, you know, look at Ron Peraza bouncing back and forth, Zuda and then Comixology and then this guy and then that guy and, you know, David Brothers writing for blogging for Comics Alliance, and now he's over at Image doing who knows what the fuck. They can't even say what he's doing.
Right.
It's just like, you know, hey, I need a CPA. I don't hire a friend that I really enjoyed, you know, golfing with because it'd be fun to hang with them. I hire a fucking CPA.
Right.
So
you might get lucky and like hanging with him, but number one is CPA.
Yeah, I mean, if you there was an article recently where I think when Carmine Infantino died, and Howard Chaykin wrote an article about life at one of the big companies in the 70s, and everyone fucking hated each other. They just despised each other. It was terrible. So, I mean, corporate environments are tough, and especially when you got a bunch of creatives in there, it's going to be tough.
Yeah.
The difference now is that, much like the divorce rate being higher than it was when your grandparents were married, is a good thing, okay? Because when your grandparents were married and your grandfather beat the shit out of your grandma, she had no options. Because if she left him, she'd be shunned or thought badly. Now you can – women have options.
Right.
They can get jobs and leave. So yes, the divorce rate's 50-50. Because 50% of the women that don't have to stay in bad situations don't.
Right.
They have options.
Sure.
Right? So same thing. You're going to see people leaving comic book companies like you didn't 10 years ago because you have options now. You can go to Comixology. You can go to Dark Horse. You can do a digital push. You can do web comics.
Something really disturbing about a really old man beating up a really old woman. You know what I mean?
Picture them young.
It's not I know they're not. Yeah, they're not doing it in their 80s. But in my head,
their mother.
In my head, that's the animated short that happened while you were talking. All right, let's move on.
You got to draw that, Scott.
Yeah, you probably should. Let's talk about spoilers real quick. So, Steven, you got roped into an interesting little deal on the morning show, on the morning stream. A couple of weeks ago, Steven came on, and we had some fun conversation about Star Trek and and I know, Kurt, you and Chris and some others got together and threw like a spoiler cast together and did some other stuff. And so that was there was a lot of talk about that and how Paramount lied to everybody and blah, blah, blah. And Steven came on and made just some veiled reference to.
I said, spoiler alert.
You said spoiler alert. Yeah, you can do it again, I guess. If you want to turn the show off now, I guess you.
I said something to the effect of if Paramount would have just told us up front that this was a remake of Wrath of Khan, everybody would have been okay with it.
Well. It's not, but it is.
It's not.
It's a retelling of the dumb story. How
it's
is it not
a remake of Wrath of Khan?
All right,
Khan.
It's a remake of Space Seed then.
Thank you. Thank
yes.
you. Thank you.
Space Seed, yes. I will agree with you on that.
Look, Scott Kurtz is one of the most hardcore Trek fans I know, so this is all dangerous territory here.
Listen,
people went ballistic shit whenever I said that. Right. And I was just like, really? Seriously?
Right.
You're upset over that? And I think they were mad because I made a mention of the Harry Mudd spaceship and the tribbles that were in there without even really saying what role that played in the movie, which was really nothing.
I can't even say the words Red Wedding this last week without people saying I'm spoiling something.
Seriously? Shut up, Scott.
What? What are you guys talking about?
It's so funny.
He's talking about a book that's been around for 15 years.
Well, also two words that mean nothing unless you know what they mean. You know what I mean? Like Red Wedding, what the hell's that? It sounds weird.
What?
Until you know.
But you got chewed out too, Scott, right?
I did. And I've been chewed. Okay, so I got a big chewing the other day. So Film Sack, where we talk about movies, typically old ones, I got in trouble for spoiling something. And I don't remember what it was from, but it was some movies years ago. And so the question came up, well, what's the statute of limitations? And why do I have to even worry about those limitations? It's a show devoted to film aficionados and film enthusiasts. And at some point, you just want to be able to talk about what you want to talk about. So I just thought it'd be interesting for everybody to kind of throw in on this. When are we spoiling? Like, if we have a brand new comic just came out, let's say Astro City, issue number one.
Yeah,
I read it. Came
out this week.
You read it. I'm interested to see what you say about it. But, you know, if there's something big in there and we decide to talk about it, I mean, is it just simply we need to? I mean, I'm talking about people doing shows like we're doing. Doing web content and things where people are going to read it, hear about it, and whatever. Is it just a simple, hey, we're going to talk about stuff about this book, so if you're real worried about that, you may want to turn off the show? Is that it?
I have a real life experience that speaks to this.
Sweet, let's do it.
Okay. Let's talk about Into Darkness.
Okay.
An awesome movie. Really
spoilers,
great.
Spoilers, people.
Yeah, awesome. Spoilers. Scott liked it. It was good.
Okay. Do you know why back in the 80s, no one cared about whether or not the villain in Wrath of Khan was Khan? It's because the name of the movie was the fucking Wrath of Khan.
Exactly.
Okay. And no one freaked out that they spoiled in the title that they were bringing back Ricardo Montalban and this villain from the TV show. And no one cared. Okay. Everyone was just excited there was a Star Trek movie. And this is a snake eating its own tail. because this whole idea of spoilers came about when marketing for movies became spoiling movies.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? It's a snake eating its own fucking tail. I remember seeing Empire Strikes Back when I was a kid. And I remember leaving the theater and my mom and dad turning to me and saying, Scott, when you go to school on Monday, don't tell anyone who Darth Vader is.
Okay.
Because they maybe didn't see the movie, and it was fun to find that out, wasn't it? Yes, it was. Mm-hmm. Okay, don't tell people. And I said, I won't. And I remember going to school and some kid saying on the playground, Darth Vader is Luke Skywalker's father. And I remember the kid with me going, no, he's not. He's the bad guy. Not traumatized. That kid turned out just fine.
Right. It's all right.
Still enjoyed, still enjoyed Empire.
Pays his taxes. Right. Got it.
So they reboot Star Trek in 2009. People like it or hate it. Now there's going to be a second one. Everyone's like, well, they got to do Khan. Are they going to do Khan? They got to do Khan. Are they going to do Khan?
Yeah.
And they ask at every chance they get these people that make the movies, Lindelof and Abrams, you can do Khan? And they say the same thing. They go, well, maybe, I don't know, we'll see, maybe, could be, probably not though.
Yeah.
Because what are they supposed to say? They're not going to go, yes, and here's how the plot's going to go, here's where we are currently with it, we've written, this is where the script is now, and yes, it's Khan. Okay, so what do? They try to hide it, they try to keep it, because you have these creative people that are like, I don't want to spoil the movie, just go see the movie. But there's all this shit. Like, who is it? Oh, we just found out it's going to be someone named John Harrison. And then, okay, so maybe he's not Khan. But who's John Harrison? Is it the guy? Is it Gary Marshall from Where No One Has Gone Before? Who's Alice Eve? Carol Marcus? That's from Wrath of Khan. Fuck. Wait, Peter Weller? Who's this guy? And this is, like, no offense to you, buddy.
But,
like, this is the stuff that, like, sites like Major Spoilers, that's where they get all their ad revenue is. We just found out.
God damn it. Why didn't people tell me about this?
We just found out
today. That's what I get for playing golf with my CPA.
That's right. You know,
we just found out today who Alice Eve's character is. So anyway, I'm in a theater. I'm in a full theater for Into Darkness. Okay.
Yeah.
And we get to the spoiler alert. We get to the fucking scene where Kirk's like, you know, Cumberbatch is like, oh, John Harrison, this is a fucking name they gave me. I'm part of Section 31. If you really want to know who I am. And so Kirk comes back and goes, who are you? And he goes, my name's not John Harrison. My name is
Sherlock Holmes.
Khan.
Oh,
and everyone
Bumper the Snatch, Flipper Dip. Sorry.
Everyone that's in the theater that's a part of this whole internet chain like we are that reads all the websites, everyone in the theater just kind of goes, The lady next to me, African-American lady in her late 40s who is with her husband, doesn't read one goddamn internet site, saw the trailer, like Star Trek, probably watched it as a kid growing up, goes, I knew it! And she was excited. And I looked at her and I thought, there's the problem, guys. Yeah. It's not spoilers. It's not that the movie guys did it wrong. It's that we're doing it wrong. It's that we need to plug a little bit. It's okay that you don't know what happens when you walk into the movies.
Yeah, it is okay.
I really don't have a problem with the movie the way it was, right? And I don't really have a problem, with the real reveal, because I was sitting there going, cool reveal.
Yeah.
But then I'm going back to the marketing, not necessarily, I don't know if we're going to do Wrath of Khan. No, the studio said, we are not doing Khan. Khan is not in this movie.
Right.
And they lied to people. That character is not in this film.
And that's not just to sites like Slash Film and Major Spoilers and these other ones. This is Entertainment Weekly. This is Entertainment Tonight. This is all these other people that they're flat out saying, this is not Khan. And then it's Khan. If they would have done it this way, saying, you know what? Khan is in this movie. But remember how excited everyone was to see our take on Star Trek? This is our take on Wrath of Khan, and wait till you see, or not Wrath of Khan. This is our take on Khan.
On space.
Wait till you see what we do with it. Your minds will be blown.
Yeah.
But if they tell you no, and it is, then you guys will make all these articles trying to figure it out, and people will talk about it for a year or 2 years before the movie comes out.
Yeah. Google just came out with a report. I don't know if anybody saw this, that they can predict how well a movie will do based on the number of searches, the number of articles and posts there are about a particular movie weeks and months ahead of the movie's release. So they will know whether the movie is going to be a blockbuster or not.
Yep. And here's the thing. These companies now are spoiling the movie.
Yes, they are.
And tricking you. They're tricking you because they're posting clips and saying it's the new trailer. I just watched, and if you're listening to this Superman. And we're talking about spoilers, by the way, fuck you. I don't give a shit if you're mad at me. It's like, hey, by the way, the final trailer for Man of Steel is out. And he's like, there's all this stuff happening and someone grabs Lois. And then it shows Superman with Jor-El. And Jor-El goes, you can save her. You can save all of them. Yep. And Superman goes, all right, and flies out of the spaceship. I'm like, what the fuck?
They're dicking with you.
Yeah, they're just dicking. They're completely dicking with you. Well, and look what I'm doing. I'm talking about it right now.
Right.
But it's not just the movie studios, right? I mean, the comic book publishers do the same thing. And the reason why I chose Major Spoilers as the name of the site, and I've told this before, is that when I looked for comic book news, all the searches were spoiler this and spoiler that and spoiler this. I'm like, well, if that's what people are looking for, spoiler Batman, spoiler Superman, I'm going to put Major Spoilers as the name of the site, and that will search engine optimization. That was the only reason the site is named.
Is that why you named it that? I was always curious.
Oh yeah,
about that.
Totally search engine optimization.
That's
and
funny.
See, here's the
and the publishers hate me for it. DC and Marvel will not let me do any interviews with their creators because they're like, well, quite frankly, our creators don't want to do interviews with you because they're nervous that you spoil everything. Bull, I don't spoil. I'm not USA Today. I'm not going out at 10 o'clock in the morning saying Captain America is dead.
But if you've named your website, your children's education website, pedophile.com, it's probably going to get you some trouble. Like,
no,
I
know,
see.
But I mean, the publishers are just as bad. I mean, they're going to USA Today and say, hey man, Captain America dies. Don't release this until 9 a.m. Well, of course, the web edition goes up at midnight and everybody knows.
Yeah.
So here's what really sucks about in the darkness getting hate. Because everyone's so wrapped up in Khan, is it Khan, is it not Khan? Wrath of Khan opens with Kirk saying, I feel old. And it ends with him saying, I feel young.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And I'm like, okay, guys. That's what's important to me about Wrath of Khan. The rest is the action movie. Give this to me. This is what I want from you guys. And so Into Darkness opens with, if roles were reversed, what would Spock do? And Bones goes, he'd let you die, Jim. He'd let you die. And it's like, Spock, do you know why I saved you? And Spock's like, no. At the end, he says, I want you to know why I saved you. And Spock goes, because we're friends. And that is what I wanted.
No, that's the key. You're right. You're right.
It doesn't matter. They know Star Trek.
That's everything. That is everything that shown. That's the only thing I've ever said about these new Star Trek movies. They get the Kirk Spock relationship down. I don't care what they fetch with.
Yeah,
it doesn't
matter. It was good.
Right. Every episode of Star Trek ends with them on the bridge, and then going, what do you think, Mr. Spock? And Mr. Spock goes, I think you're all a bunch of assholes. And like, oh, Spock.
All right, so here's our new policy moving forward on the show. We talk about whatever the hell we want, but
let me just say this.
Spoiler alert, I'm fine with that. Just say, hey, we're going to talk about some stuff. You don't want to hear this, don't listen. All right, here we go. And we talk about it.
I guess my big issue is, if we're going to have an intelligent conversation about something, or a semi-intelligent conversation like we just had, I think you do need to talk about details. I mean, we couldn't have just had this long conversation if we didn't say that Cumberbatch is Khan in this movie.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. And that's a spoiler.
It doesn't matter at all. It does not matter that he's Khan at all.
Yeah, it really doesn't.
It matters that he's Khan as much as it matters that the ship they took, the Klingon planet, was the mud ship from that mud incident.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just a fun nod.
Yeah.
So what would have been better is when they were opening up one of those other torpedoes, have a plastic Ricardo Montalban inside that one. That would have done everything for everybody.
That would have been, because then all the fan service you need.
Then Harrison would have been just another, a follower of Khan trapped in this situation.
All the chairs on the ship have rich Corinthian leather. That's the only nod you're going to get from him.
So that's my take on spoilers. If you're going to have an intelligent discussion about something,
you have to talk about
Rosebud is the sled.
I agree.
I agree too.
What?
I know. Oh, sorry. Spoiler. Sorry. Rosebud sled. Also, the dude in that one show, it's not a lady. It's a dude. He has a wiener. What was that called in the 90s? Crying game. Yeah. Lady has a wiener. Yeah. It's strapped up around his butt or something like that. I remember seeing that going, because I saw it late and I remember seeing it going, hey, that's Ra from that really stupid Stargate movie. That's all I can think.
I don't like that Stargate movie.
That movie sucks. That movie is terrible.
It is really bad.
It's so bad. The show is great. I love the show.
Do those guys make good movies? I don't think they ever did.
No, the two, you're talking about the what's their names?
Roland and Emmerich or whatever.
Yeah, the Emmerichs. They don't do anything good, except I kind of like Day After Tomorrow. I thought that was all right, but the rest of them are terrible. All right, well, let's move on. A couple of quick, fast little things here.
You're going to tune in on them and persuade them to change their mind.
You must be insane.
Boba Fett is getting the 6-inch figure treatment at the San Diego Comic-Con, so you Boba Fett fetishes, cysts, get that? Boba fetish, get it? You can go get that. It's also 6 inches. I don't know what that means. Bill Willingham's Fables is headed to the big screen. I think we kind of knew this was rumored, but confirmed now, I guess, Stephen?
Oh, yeah, definitely confirmed.
All right, that's cool. Very cool. Man, Fables is great. Matt Smith is leaving Doctor Who, while Karen Gillian is joining Guardians of the Galaxy with Benicio del Toro. I flip ya. We all know him. So the Matt Smith deal, we still don't know, or is it this weekend that we find out who the...
No, we won't find out until December.
Oh, that's a way. Oh, I thought it was something.
Yeah. I've said that I bet we will know who the new doctor is by October.
Okay. I still get in trouble for putting DR period in front of who.
I hope it's a black guy or a girl.
How about an old guy, dude?
I'll take an old guy.
An old British man. There's plenty of those guys. All the Harry Potter people got nothing to do now. Let's get one of them in there.
Give him a job.
The only one that's got a job everyone hates because of the Red Wedding. Spoiler. Freaking Argus Finch. Setting the world on fire. Do you guys know that was him? That's the guy with the cat.
Yes, I don't know what you're talking about.
He's the dude from Harry Potter. Because you haven't seen
what?
It.
I've not watched Game of Thrones.
You should. It's good.
I know, but I've got a 5-year-old.
Well, you don't have to now.
We just told you the whole
story. Let me guess. Everybody dies?
A whole lot of them. Yeah.
Yeah. People all right.
Do. Freaking George R. R. Martin.
Hey, look, I didn't watch The Wire until it was off the air for 4 years.
I still haven't seen it.
And I love it. It was great.
I want to, but I still haven't seen it. I'm like the way Kurt says with Deadwood, just haven't gotten around to it.
Yeah.
Oh, so good.
I love that show so
much. Isn't
it,
though? That's the best.
I'm sad.
Oh, my gosh. It's
series.
So good. It was way
especially
too soon.
Especially with the way it ended.
Yeah, it ended stupid. But holy crap, some of the actors in that, just the doctor was so great. I just love those characters. And have you ever loved a character more than Swearingen?
It's really funny because it's like there's one scene in the show, there's one episode in where I'm like, I'm watching it and I'm like, is Swearingen the good guy?
Yeah, I know. In the end, it kind of was.
Yeah, and then at one point, there's one episode where Farnum keeps repeating, and Al goes, Farnum, stop repeating back what I just told you to me.
Yeah.
Please stop it. And he's like, you just did it again. And then Bullock walks across and Swearingen goes, that man is a maniac.
Yeah.
And I'm like, he is. He has a temper. You know, he is the bad guy.
Yeah. Well, but you got to remember, it's Swearingen who ends up saving the town when Hearst comes in.
Bastard
Hearst. Or not Hearst. Yeah. When
is
he
it Hearst?
Comes in.
Yeah, it was Hearst.
Or somebody like
the him. The guy that played
from
Jim
Simon
Jones.
Simon.
Oh, I'm thinking somebody else. Simon.
I go way back.
So good. And that poor preacher with the brain tumor. Much stuff going on.
I was at work. When that I was watching that episode while I was drawing, yeah. And when he waves at Al and Al's crying because of his brother,
yeah.
I'm weeping, and I had to look up like, who is this actor? What else has he done?
Yeah.
And part of me was like, just make sure it's not real. Like, is he an actor? Okay, he's fine.
He's okay. He's gone on. He's in Justified. He's great in Justified, by the way. He was for about an episode. Anyway,
you know, the.
Everyone's been in Justified.
Oh, well, and then what's his name is the cop in Sons of Anarchy.
Wait, who?
Hickok's friend.
Oh,
the guy
oh.
that starts the
oh,
shipping.
Oh, Charlie company. Utter.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, you're right. But then you got, I mean, Justified's got, of course, Bullock in there, but he's also, you had a bunch of people from Lost.
Ellsworth was in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great.
You know, I saw Netflix doing Arrested Development. The first thing that went in my head is, if they could somehow get the rights to be able just to finish that series for Deadwood, like the thought that there could be companies who can take shows that, you know, maybe got cut before their time and reinvent them, you know, in this, whatever the magic.
I mean, everyone always says Firefly, but I'd take a Deadwood finish a whole season. Oh,
totally.
Geez. Or a movie even. I don't care. I think
real quick poll. Do you guys care about TVs and movie series being turned into the comic series, like Buffy getting season 7, 8, 9 and Jericho getting the comic book treatment? Is that a good thing or not a good thing?
I think it's fine.
If their team is good.
Yeah.
Yeah, it can be good. It's, you know, not quite as satisfying, but
I like Whedon's writing style. So
you'd rather have a Netflix Deadwood than a comic book Deadwood.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
I'd read a comic book.
Yeah, it kind of depends on the story. Like something like Deadwood could do little mini stories forever and just keep that going in the comic if it's well done. But
yeah, dude, that doctor, what was his name? He played Wormhole or whatever his name is in Lord of the Rings.
His name's Brad Dorff. He played
Brad Dorff. Yeah.
Played Grima Wormtongue.
So good. Yeah. He's one of my favorite things in there. And that little Japanese guy saying swedgen all the time.
Swedgen!
Woo! Swedgen. Who? Woo!
But when he had to push that stone through his urethra, that took me out.
Oh, my God.
Couldn't deal with
Requiem
that.
Requiem for a Gleet.
Yeah, that was bad. All right, moving on. DC is turning September into Villains Month, so that's a thing to look forward to, I suppose.
Yay.
I don't know. That doesn't excite me that much. And then Warner Brothers celebrates Superman's 75th with a new logo and an animated short. This is the animated short you talked about in TMS.
Yeah, where it's going to be all one long take, and it's going to incorporate all the different styles of Superman from the last 75 years.
That is so cool to me. I'm really stoked about that. And DC's direct-to-DVD and video stuff has always been great, at least in the last few years. So I'm really, really excited.
Good job.
Yeah, it'll be cool. All right, let's get into what we're reading real quick.
Wait a minute. Don't leave me here alone. I'll talk. I'll tell you everything I know.
Scott Kurtz, what are you reading?
I broke a rule. I read an event title.
Oh, my gosh. You're like the infinite earths of men.
I read the first issue of Age of Ultron, and I loved it, kid. I kept reading it. It's really good. It's a trick. It's not an event book. It's an Elsewhere's book. It's a what if this happened book. I'm really digging it, and you know, Bendis doing good stuff. There's one artist in there I don't super care for during certain flashbacks. There's a bunch of time shifts and stuff in it, but I really liked it. I really dig Age of Ultron. So for an event book, pretty good. I've dug it.
Bendis, Hitch, Neary, and Mounts. And so what the other artists are used for different, like the different time period things or whatever?
Well, I think Brian Hitch drew the first couple of issues and they got someone else to do the other ones. I know Brandon Peterson, who's an incredible artist, has done a couple issues as well. Really good. It's I'm really impressed with
Joe Quesada is going to draw part of the final issue. Wow.
Oh.
Is he getting off his butt and drawing things?
They're doing a weird thing where they're leading into some reintroduction of the character Angela that Neil Gaiman won from Todd McFarlane is now going to be in the Marvel Universe.
Right. That's the weirdest deal.
It's so weird. Yeah. Anyway, I enjoyed it. If you like Big Two comics, I can recommend it. I also picked up for 99 cents the... that ill-fated Adventures of Superman book that had all the Orson Scott Card controversy.
Yeah.
The only part of that I wanted to read, the Chris Samnee, Jeff Parker Superman, is available for 99 cents. And Chris Samnee should draw every book that exists.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's awesome. And it's classic Superman fun. It's 99 cents. It's over way too quick. And it's going to make you wish that Chris Samnee and Jeff Parker made Superman comics every month.
Oh, man. All right.
It's classic costume. It's just really great.
Writing all these down as usual.
And then book I highly recommend you buy physically is an anthology book. It's called Spera. And it is a fantasy book about these two princesses and their friend who is also an elemental dog. It's like a fire spirit dog. Anyway, it's like a fairy tale, but it's what's really great about it is it feels kind of all ages, but it's still a little fun and a little fable-y violent. In other words, like grim fairy tale violent, right? So you could read it with your older kids, but it's still kind of all ages. And the two protagonists in the story are girls, but they're not your typically portrayed comic girls. And it's independently produced, and the way this guy's got it done is he's found a bunch of artists to take on different stories as these characters progress. So every once in a while you hit a story where the art isn't your favorite to your liking, but your mileage will vary. But there's two volumes of it. It's called Spera, and it is on Comixology if you want to rent it. But
if you want to rent it,
the books are. I think they're. God, who published that? First, second? I can't remember. Anyway, the Dead Tree versions of these books are beautifully done, and it'll go on your bookshelf. You'll really like Spera.
All right, I'll look for that. We're actually going to the comic book store this weekend. I'm looking. All this talk has made me want to go a little physical. For a while, maybe. We'll see. Cool. Great one. Sounds like all that stuff is good. I'll tell you what I've been into. So I picked up Astro City 1, and I'll defer to you a little bit, Stephen, later about this book, because it's my first. I've never read Astro City, the earlier run stuff, or this.
Man, that's why you're going to go back to the comic book store, because you're going to go pick up all the Kurt Busiek Astro Cities from the beginning.
Are they? Okay. So,
the first one, Welcome to Astro City, is really good.
Okay. I'm going to do that. So there's this run in the 90s, 95, 96, something like that, 95, I want to say.
It was in the late 90s is when it started, yeah.
Okay, so I must be in the right place. And it's Samaritan's, just it's kind of told from his perspective, the whole first half of the issue. Okay, I'm about halfway through that issue. I picked that up after I read this, because I thought, well, for me to get the big impact here, I probably need to go back and see what's what. But am I to understand? I mean, I'm kind of getting the vibe that, all right, here we are, another. This is, and I say another, I mean this may have been an early example of this because it's older. But it's, here it is with, we got a Superman archetype, we got Batman archetype, we got Wonder Woman archetypes. You got all these things to kind of tell an alternate, slightly twisted, not like irredeemable level, but, you know, a different kind of hardcore take on the lives of heroes, I suppose.
Yeah. It is Kurt Busiek's love letter to the gold and the silver age, definitely.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, welcome to Astro City is the first family is Fantastic Four.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good point.
There's a couple people that have done this, and it's worth picking up their work. And the other one that I would recommend is any of the Tom Strong novels, graphic novels. That is Alan Moore's love letter to pulp comics.
Really?
And they're fantastic.
Planetary is kind of not planetary. Which is the one with Doc Savage? That's Planetary, isn't it?
That's Planetary.
Yeah, yeah.
Planetary is okay. It's a little too heavy-handed for me.
Tom Strong is the other one you said?
Tom Strong is really good. It's I feel a lot of love to the Shazam family in there, and I feel a lot of love to the pulp like Doc Savage comics in there. And it's Chris Sprouse drew most of it, and his artwork is, you'll really like it, Scott. It's really clean. It's really good. It's Wieringo-esque.
Oh, I like that.
You'll like Tom Strong. It's a lot of fun. And then another one that was take the Justice League and kind of twist it. And this is darker. There's another, I think it's Alan Moore too. It's called Top 10.
Mm-hmm.
Is that Top 10? Is that right?
Yeah, that is.
With the guy in it named Smax.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it takes place in like the...
The future.
Future.
Everyone's got superpowers.
Yeah, yeah.
That one's a little weird. Yeah, that one's a little weird.
It takes some time to get into, but definitely check it out.
Can you guys... I don't know if anyone will remember this, but in the 80s, late 80s, there was a series... I wish I could remember the name of this. I remember being enthralled by it, but it was like bizarro... superhero world again, where the archetypes are similar, but everyone's just really twisted and weird. And the art was really strange. And I, for the life of me, cannot remember this comic, but the main guy had stars and stripes on him. I just realized as I'm saying this, I don't have enough information.
You're talking about Marshall. Marshall Law.
You're touching on something that may have been it. It may have been it. I'm having.
He had a full mask on, and he had one of those like German officer hats.
Was it Marshall Law?
That's Marshall Law. Yeah.
I was so into that back in the day.
Dude, fuck yes.
Oh, so good. Where's that? Why isn't that making a big company?
Nailed it.
Because Eternity Comics is no longer in existence.
Oh. Yeah, that was definitely not a mainstream. Oh, yeah, I'm looking at it here. Oh, yeah, this is totally him. Oh, I loved that at the time. I thought that was really cool. Okay, anyway. Sorry. I'm not reading that now. I wish I was.
You'd also like Global Frequency.
Oh, yeah? That one's good?
Mm-hmm. That's really fucking cool.
The Killer, still reading that. 99 cents an issue. I bought the volume something, and I'm renting that one. But, again, it's that French comic that's been translated really well, and I love it. It's awesome. It's like...
Ooh, where do you get that?
Comixology. They're a buck a piece, and they're... I'm hooked on it. I think it's really well done. I love the narrative. The artwork is weird, but you get used to it. The stories, it reminds me of, like, if you could take the Bourne movies, but the protagonist is not a good man. You know what? Take the Bourne movies in terms of tone and movement and kind of overall kind of, I don't know, feel, I suppose, and then mix that with, oh, geez, what would I even compare it to? I don't have a good comparison. It's a really fun read. It's a quick read. It's smart. It's got great dialogue. It does great visuals to kind of juxtapose against interesting dialogue. I like it a lot. It's just about this hitman, and you know, it's like Gross Point Blank, but more serious. It's really good. Anyway, I like it. Those are only
the
bucks
art's cool.
Yeah, it's really cool. I definitely one to pick up, and it's cheap. And again, I impulse buy on these cheap ones, like Stephen was saying, and I've bought like two whole volumes now because why the hell not? Hawkeye, still loving that. Mentioned that last time. I won't spend too much time on that, but I'm loving that. I don't like the art change, though. I'll throw that out there. I don't know who it is now. I forgot to write it down, but whoever they switched to, not as big a fan as I was previous issue. It's the first videotape arc.
That David Aja?
Yeah. Oh. Don't like the change. It's all right. It's still fine. Still really well written. But whoever was before that, and I'm obviously not giving anyone any credit here, but I liked his stuff better. Marvel Heroes is a game. I've been playing that. Just wanted to throw in a little bit on that real quick and give you my impressions. So it's essentially Diablo-esque action RPG, ARPGs set in the Marvel Universe. And it's really good. The sort of kill stuff till you get loot thing, the carrot in front of you all the time, one more level thing, is really well done, really well implemented. Graphics are great. It's very action-oriented. Lots of destruction around you. Lots of great characters to choose from. It's a free-to-play game, but you gotta, you know, if you want to do anything cool, you gotta spend money on actual characters. It's the game that pisses me off that Iron Man costs like double
$20.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Jeez, that's annoying.
It's totally annoying. It's just because of the dumb movies.
The other thing that's annoying is that there's multiple same heroes.
Yeah. Oh no, that's the big annoyance. So when you're running around and there's these big world events, you can participate in kind of an MMO style thing. And you're running around out there and you're like, all right, there's 15 things. There's like 8 Hulks here. I see a whole lot of Hawkeyes in his purple suit. And I'm just about the only... Nobody's buying Punisher. He is badass. I freaking love that. I bought him. I spent $10 and bought him. And it's nice because in a way, I did the thing you want, which is there's nobody like you. And there's just all these duplicates of 20 Spider-Men running around. But there's one... Punisher, it's kind of cool.
So it's not like DCUO with
he's me.
No, yeah, you don't get to change your dude, Mark. It's not like you can go create your own hero.
Well, that was I thought actually the cool thing about how they handled that with DC Universe Online was that no one was the original.
Nobody was Batman.
Hero.
Nobody's yeah. Superman. Right?
You
right.
were Batman like or Superman like, but yeah. You know, variations on a theme.
In this case, they have decided to go straight up. You're playing your favorite heroes, and I think in a fan way, that's a good thing. But it's weird when you enter a world and
multiplayer is weird.
It's great that there's a pretty recent Penny Arcade comic that's very funny about this, and it's this yeah. idea that everyone's the same, and it's just a little weird. But it's good though. I mean, the gameplay part of it, it's good. You know, it holds up. It's all right. And it's free to play. You can get away with spending $10 and never spend another dime and get a good full experience out of it. And I think it's all right.
Cool.
Mark, what are you reading?
Oh, well, just the normal stuff, my normal upkeep, but a few things that stood out. Lock and Key, Omega number 5 was pretty friggin' awesome. I see that Steven's got that in there,
oh,
too.
Oh, yes. It is pretty freaking awesome.
So good. And this series, we've talked about it before, so I won't talk about it too long, but so well done. And this one gets kicked up to a notch. There's some serious violence and pretty hardcore yeah. things going on in this one.
There's a lot of squeamishness going on.
Yeah, and it took me by surprise. I mean, there's been things in the past, but nothing to this level as the shit's about to hit the fan here. So... fantastic read, great art. You want to see people cut in half, it's pretty cool.
I like those things.
Yeah.
I like violence.
Really, really well done. And then, you know, we talk about how I like to read crappy stuff, and this I think I may have taken it a little bit too seriously, and I started to read Poop Office.
Poop what? Office? What?
You guys familiar with this?
No.
No.
Eh, you shouldn't be.
Poop Office.
Poop Office.
You're shitting me, right?
The only reason, like, sometimes I'm just scrolling through Comixology and I'll see something with a title that just the title alone is like, buy, I got to get this. So anyway, Poop Office is it's basically office life with animated poop.
Okay.
You know, drawn pictures of poop. The creator, I can only see name, his reference to his first name is Ben, and it's on Naked Grape Comics. I thought this would be something that you guys would all be like, oh, we've heard of that before.
No, Scott, have you? I've never heard of that.
No.
Well, the guy got his shit in Comixology. No pun intended.
Yeah.
Well, you know, they do have, Comixology does have this new thing called Comixology
thanks,
Submit.
Thanks, right. Comixology for, Submit.
And it's for the it really be, independents. Yeah.
But this is real independent. So really, I mean, I actually bought it because it's like, okay, it's poop and it's got to be funny, right? And it's just sort of like run-of-the-mill office life only with poop.
Oh,
and
yeah. It's kind of a webcomic.
Very webcomic-y. And it's just full of poop references and poop puns.
What is wrong with you that you read this?
This is his job.
It was the title. It was the title.
Remember, he's the one that did the situation book from the freaking Jersey Shore thing. And I love that you pull these. None of us are going to do it.
I could sit here and talk about like Superior Spider-Man, or I could talk about a comic book about shit.
Well, I mean, so does this comic stink? I mean, should we dump it?
You know, it's one that you just may want to wipe and flush away.
The web comic is all up here for free, and it's not very – it's real stupid.
There's a motion comic, too, that the guy did that actually is a little bit funnier than, you know, just animates a couple of the panels that he's done. Yeah. But, like, the main character's name is Poopert, and he's at his new job. He's working for Mr. Poopson.
Yeah.
He meets the receptionist Poopina, and she's got a crush on him, and then they're having a poop luck lunch. And everybody gets mad at him because he doesn't bring anything for lunch. So he decides, he's like, oh, wait, I've got an idea. I know what I can do. And he poops into his hand and serves it. And everyone's excited now because he's serving poop.
Hold on a second. Who did this? His name's Ben.
Ben.
It must be a rough Saturday night date for Ben. I'm just saying. Like, what, this guy, he's obsessed.
Yeah, it's definitely one man's obsession. And if you want to see it, it's nakedgrapecomics.com. And I think pretty much what I bought on Comixology is totally available for free on the website.
Yeah.
But hey, you know what? I'm glad to support an independent lover of poop, I guess.
Sure.
Are you giving this a 2-star rating?
a deuce?
I'm going to give this a deuce.
All right.
2 slices of meatloaf. Oh, wait, wrong show. so there's that. And the other thing I wanted to mention was this last month, I got a bunch of those little letters from Marvel that you get when your subscriptions are running out. And I couldn't be happier because I've decided that, you know, there's a couple different ways I could let a comic book company screw me over. And I'll accept the digital one, but the whole subscription at home thing is just garbage. So I'm glad to be done with that. And now I'll just like mildly be screwed by renting my stuff day and date.
So wait, the subscription models they had in place, or I assume still have in place, were just, you know, day and date releases? I mean, you just get a new comic in the mail?
There are two weeks after release, I get the comic in the mail.
Well.
Oh. All right.
So yeah, I mean, it's nice because I get a paper comic, but I could look forward to waiting, you know, weeks. And sometimes they get them out of order. So I'll get, you know, an issue. I'll miss an issue and then I have to wait for that one to come back in. So, you know, you don't get any sort of preferential treatment whatsoever with a subscription. So I think I railed on that like at one of our first episodes.
Yeah.
But thankfully, it's all done. And now I can just do what I need to do on my iPad.
You no longer have a Columbia record thing. You just buy songs on iTunes.
That's totally what it feels like. Yeah, right?
That's what it feels like.
That's kind of sad though. I'm kind of sad that you can't, as a kid, have Marvel comics sent to your mailbox anymore.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's a cool thing. Like, you know, it'd be a great gift. I'd love to give my, I just turned 13. That's
well,
weird.
You can, you'll just be, you know, you're behind.
Just be screwed. Here, son, get screwed. All right. Steven, what are you reading?
Well, as we mentioned, Astro City number 1 came out of the new series.
Did you like it, I guess?
It's pretty good. But again, I think you're going to have a little bit more insight into the world of Astro City if you've read some of the previous stuff.
Is the big-eyed anime girl?
She's new. That's a new character.
She immediately turned me off.
American Chibi. Yeah.
I saw her and went, oh, really? We're going to do this? This is going to be in here. And the cover art by Alex Ross is this obviously beautiful painterly art, again, like he always does. Mm-hmm. And he's got her in there, and she just looks so out of place it makes me want to fart blood.
Well, that's what the narrator is talking about. as you read it. He's like, "Hey, look at this American chibi. Look how out of place she is. You might think that she's dumb, but then he goes in and explains how she's really cool." And yeah, it's neat. And then the twist at the end that you're not supposed to read, but you went ahead and did it anyway.
Yeah, I read the whole twist. I like that. That stuff's cool. Spoiler, but okay, can I say this? All right, spoiler. Spoiler alert, everybody. Tune back out for the next 1 second. But I like the idea that he's insane.
Yeah, and that this, or is he?
Like that. That's cool. Those are all twists I can get on. They're a little tropey, but I like them.
Yeah. I picked up a Daredevil Dark Knight, number one, that came out this week from Marvel. And it's by Lee Weeks, art by Lee Weeks. And it tells, it's the Daredevil Dark Knight is an 8-issue miniseries that Marvel is putting out. It feels like maybe they're cleaning out some of the back scripts that they had or shelved scripts that they had.
And finally using their idea to put Dark Knight in a Marvel title.
Yeah, exactly.
Good job.
But there are three different stories being told over these 8 issues. The first three are being told by Lee Weeks. And it has Daredevil during the middle of a New York snowstorm rushing out to try and save somebody's life.
And he can't see shit.
And he can't because it's snowing and it messes up with his radar. And he certainly wouldn't read a poop comic of
it. Right.
No. But the issue is really all about, you know, look at how we treat one another. And is this really what we have come to? And so it gets a little emotional in places. I think it's a little heavy handed at spots, but it's a really solid book. And I really enjoyed the first issue. I can't wait to read the other two. Daredevil Dark Knight number one from Marvel Comics. Lock and Key are just get to page one and you're already going, holy crap.
I've still not read any of that. I need to.
Me neither. I haven't touched it.
Yeah. I keep hearing this, though.
Go and get Welcome to Lovecraft. It's good. It's on Comixology. If that doesn't sell you on the series.
If you don't want to rent it there, you can go buy it.
You can go buy it. And I go out and I buy this. You know, I like to support books that I like. So I'll go out and buy Atomic Robo in print. I'll go out and buy it in digital, and then I'll buy it again in trade because I want to support those creators and what they do. I do the same thing with Lock and Key. I'll buy it digitally, the single issues, and then I buy the collected hardcover that they have. Great, fantastic story. You're not going to be disappointed. I guess the only disappointment that you might have with Lock and Key is that in the Welcome to Lovecraft, there is a little bit more of a feel that this is a Stephen King influenced book than anything.
Mm-hmm.
But Joe Hill's Stephen King's son. So you can kind of overlook that.
Yeah, part. I'm okay with that. If it's
not a bad thing, I don't think.
Yeah, it's not a bad thing.
Yeah, like if Max Brooks got up and did the producers too, I wouldn't complain.
Yeah.
Be all right.
The other thing I did is just like Scott Kurtz with The Adventures of Superman, I've been reading Legends of the Dark Knight, a series that DC made a mistake in canceling all those years ago. But they've wised up and brought it back to a digital first format, just like Adventures of Superman. So what they do is they take a single issue in print and they divide it up into three parts. And you pay 99 cents for each of these three parts. But you're getting little bits of the story. So this story is a story of the Riddler who basically asks a question and is really decided to change up the way he commits his crimes and sends Batman out on his search for what the Riddler is really up to.
The ultimate riddle, really.
Yeah, the ultimate riddle.
Yeah. All right. I'm down with that. That sounds great.
So, yeah, it's some good stuff.
Go look at, check out Dark Knight. Daredevil!
Yeah,
he's Daredevil, now the Dark Knight. Fantastic.
Legends of the Daredevil Dark Knight.
Quick email before we cut out of here. Got one here from Mickey, who wrote in and said, "Hey guys, I've always kind of thought comics were cool, but had trouble getting into them. I've read an issue here and there, but never really got sucked in. The New 52 was interesting for a while, but that interest petered out too. I tried the Marvel number ones thing, but had much the same trouble, only ended up reading about 50 of them." That's no small number of issues, though.
Mm-mm.
That's like saying, I thought he'd say, I only ended up reading 3, but 50? That's a lot of damn comics. A few months ago, I read an issue of Invincible and found myself getting really into it. Even before you guys recommended it, I was ripping through the trade paperbacks as fast as I could get my hands on them. That comic really got me going with its awesome characters and the awesome story and even a little goofy moments scattered throughout. But then I ran out, and I'm at a loss. This is one comic that did something to me and let me get into it, and I don't know what else will fill that void. Any suggestions? So he is looking for Invincible-like treatment somewhere or something.
Not Guardians of the Galaxy. Guardians of the...
Oh, you mean Guarding the Globe?
Guarding the Globe is also by Kirkman and is set in that same world. I don't think it's that good.
I mean, other Kirkman-verse stuff like Tech Jacket and stuff, but if you're looking for that, actually, if you're looking for that type of superhero book, you know, Kirkman's whole superhero universe is his love letter to Eric Larson.
Mm-hmm.
So if you've never read Savage Dragon, and there's hundreds of issues to read.
That's all he does.
Mm-hmm. You know.
Isn't he still, he's still just cranking.
It's Savage Dragon same still thing. Comes out. Yeah. 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 It's the same thing. It's like, you know, if Invincible is Kirkman doing Superboy, Savage Dragon is him doing Smart Hulk, I guess.
Smart Hulk. Coming this summer from Marvel. Yeah. I would actually really liked early. I just didn't continue, but I really liked Savage Dragon. I mean, for a while there in the 90s, I was like Image Man. I was like, screw the big boys. It's all Image now. McFarlane's the Lord of Light. Red Wedding. And he has all kinds of cool stuff going on. And look at this and look at that. And I couldn't wait to read everything everybody was doing. And Prophet would come out. I'm like, yeah, Prophet. And even though that's just a terrible comic. And Wet Works, I thought was the end of the world. It was going to make X-Men look stupid. So, you know, but out of all of that, I guess memories I have of like the best written some stuff, or maybe some of the most interesting written stuff from that early era when they were all being all rogue and everything, it was probably Savage Dragon. So maybe go check those out.
That's what Kirkman grew up loving. Yeah, I mean, he also loved Liefeld stuff, but I wouldn't recommend that. But.
Yeah, I wouldn't either.
Savage Dragon has the same feel of Invincible, you know, like the heroes are kind of goofy. Anyone can die, you know. Not afraid to show crazy stuff happening, you know. So,
yeah.
There's also the book he does called The Walking Dead. But
yeah, Walking Dead's all right.
Well, and outside of Savage Dragon, very similar to what's his name, Mickey Mikey.
Yeah.
I also kind of got into Invincible as I was getting back into comics, and I have yet to really find anything that hits that same note for me. Mm-hmm. But the good thing is there's a ton of other shit out there that's going to hit different notes. You know, things that really caught me early on, Lock and Key, we just talked about that. Of course, Walking Dead. Mm-hmm. And Chew I just find to be a fun thing to read. It's very, you know, fairly lightweight story. But interesting stuff. But you'll find that you may never ever get that same feeling that you got from that particular book. But look for other things because there's a lot of good stuff out there.
Yeah, and I have a feeling you would. There's a tone of all of this that we're talking about in the new Hawkeye series that I think you would enjoy. It's
Hawkeye probably. Sure, I would agree.
Yeah,
I think if people are wanting to sample some books and maybe looking at some older stuff that they're wanting to get into, I highly recommend. DC Presents, Marvel Essentials, and I forget what Dark Horse does, but they collect huge entire runs of characters, bundle them into these phone book size trades. They're black and white. They're paper thin for the pages, but you're getting, you know, 50 issues for like $19 or less. So you can get like early runs of Conan. This week we just read Essential Power Man and Iron Fist, which was awesome. They collect a lot of the DC stuff. So if you want to kind of sample some of the older stuff and you're just looking for something to read, that stuff is a great bargain.
This just in, beepity beep, beep, beepity beep, live action Archie Comics movie planned.
Oh, yeah, I've got the press release right here.
Yeah, did you hear about this? So
yeah, they sent it to me late this afternoon. I hadn't had a chance to do anything.
The comic is 72 years old. My gosh. Let's see, directed by Jason Moore, who helmed the 2012 High School Musical comedy Pitch Perfect, which I hated with a fiery passion that only the devil himself knows. I hated that movie so much. Glee writer Robert Acquire Suskabakakaka something.
Right? Is that where this is going?
I don't know what
that is. Well, they did a whole Archie meets Glee thing that was there.
Really?
Yep.
Oh, shit. I'm not interested now. Anyway. They're going to call it, they say it'll be the ultimate teenage movie. So I'm just going to close this tab and never actually look at that again.
Sweet.
High school comedy based on the original line of Archie comics set in present day Riverdale.
Okay. Ugh. All right. Well, that's a thing. That's it. That's emails. And if you guys would like to send one, we'd be happy to read it here on the show. Keep them nice and short and readable. And we'll do it on the show. You can send them to comicdorks@gmail.com. That about does it for us. Anybody doing anything cool they want to pimp out? Steven, you always got a million things. What's going on?
Oh, so many, 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 many millions of things that are going on. Mm. Too much to really mention in one spot. Majorspoilers.com really collects it all up.
Yeah. That's the central offloading point. You got everything going on right there.
If you kind of use that as your hub to go out to our podcast and our YouTube channel and our Twitter and our Dungeons & Dragons stuff, then... that's the place to go.
Yeah.
What? What Dungeons and Dragons stuff?
What? Come on, Scott. You've not heard of Critical Hit, the Major Spoilers Dungeons & Dragons podcast.
Very popular podcast.
How dare you, sir?
You should listen. It's real good.
I'll go listen.
And if you like Munchkin at all, Munchkin
Land. Oh, yeah, Munchkin is real fun.
Yeah.
We actually swapped it up the last couple of weeks and are playing Shea Geek.
Ah.
Which is another fun Steve Jackson Games thing.
Very nice. And don't forget, in July, you'll be able to meet Steven there, shake his hand, or Mark's hand and shake it in the at Nerdtacular. One of these years, we'll get Scott out there as well, and we'll all hang out together. But it's that's coming up real fast. Mr. Kurtz, what do you got going on with your world? PvP Online, of course.
Nothing. I quit comics.
You're out.
I'm out.
They're too pushy. The business people don't know what they're doing.
Yeah, I mean, right now I've got nothing else to talk about but what I'm already doing, which is PvPonline.com. That's going pretty strong. We hired a writer.
I heard about this, yeah. How's that going?
Yeah, great. Yeah. Just really, really great. I got really addicted to the collaborative writing process on a comic I do with the Penny Arcade guys called Trenches. Mm. And it's like, you know, it really helps when you have this deadline-based humor. And, you know, PvP's been around 15 years, and I wanted to keep it fresh and brought on PvP's old enough now that there are cartoonists out there making a living doing comics that grew up reading PvP. Mm-hmm. And so there's talented people out there that grew up reading it that know it as well, if not better than I do. And Dylan McConis is one of those said people, and she's been helping me with she's been, you know, a part of my new writing staff that is currently me and her. So,
that's awesome.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun, and I think we're delivering gold. And then, of course, Table Titans, which is my fantasy role-playing webcomic that I just love making it so much. It's such fun, and I just want to invite everyone to come and read it just because it's, you know, my love of role-playing games and making comics all wrapped up into one big... It's dessert for me. The end of the work week when I do Table Titans, that's my dessert. I work everything else so I can play with that.
Very nice. TableTitans.com. Also, PvP Online on Twitter. Major Spoilers for Steven. And then, Mark, what do you got going on? Anything cool? And you finished a book or something here.
I did finish my book. It's over. Well, for now. Until I get like something back from the publisher. You got to fix this. Yeah. But yeah, it's due out before Christmas, November, December. So anybody who cares about woodworking, there's going to be a book with my face on it.
Yeah.
Which is great.
Where are they going to be able to get it when it comes out?
Everywhere, you know, Kindle, Amazon.
Nice.
Yeah, and I actually, what I really wanted to mention was I finally decided to sign up for on Goodreads, and I did it mostly for, you know, fantasy stuff that I read, but I looked and they've got a lot of comic book stuff on there as well. So if any of you are Goodreads users or members or whatever you would call yourself, look me up on there so we can start trading back and forth ideas for good comics. And really, I'm into a lot of fantasy novels and stuff like that too. So
if they're doing comics on there, I didn't know you could do that category of books. If that's couldn't we do a page for Comic Dorks and people could join?
Yeah, we could. And I haven't looked into it. I think it's basically just trades and things like that. So you're not going to find much in the way of issues, but they have categories for comics.
That's interesting.
Let me give a plug for Mark because Mark downplays his talents.
Yeah, I agree.
Go over to Wood Whisperer and watch his tour of the Green and Green, the Thorson House, the Green and Green architecture style.
Yeah.
Fantastic little video. I loved watching that.
Yeah.
That was a lot of fun. Yeah.
His videos are amazing and his work is insane. And again, when Scott's big EMP hits, he's the only one.
We're going to require you to help us.
You guys want me to build your cars. Yeah. And
he's going to build a wooden computer. So
then I got to use my hand tools. That's a lot of work.
Yeah, it is. Don't worry. Yeah, you got.
Boy, that's a movie, right? That's our version of the road. It's like the MP hits, and we all three of us have to get to Spagnola's house.
Yeah.
There you go.
He's the only one that understands how to use rudimentary tools.
Yeah. I'll die first. That's how I picture me in the movie. I'm the first one out.
There you go.
Excellent. Well, there's a lot going on at frogpants.com as well. And for this show, you can go to comicdorks.com. That's where you'll find links to all our show notes and various episodes and whatnot. You can subscribe on iTunes, leave us a review there. There is a Comic Dorks t-shirt at /loot.com. It's there now, so you can get it. Support the show and go to there. What else? Email us comicdorks@gmail.com. You can find us on the Twitter @comicdorks. Still surprised that existed, and I'm really happy we own it. What else? Oh, man, Nerdtacular coming up week of the 5th and 6th. Those of you with tickets know because you bought them and they're gone. So we'll see you all in July. Very much looking forward to that. But we should be able to squeeze, I hope, one more of these in before that happens. Either way, come see me and Steven and Mark and others from the Frog Pants Network. Nicole will be there. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, yeah.
Veronica Belmont will be there. Tom Merritt, a very special guest. I can't say yet because he wants it to be a surprise. Whole bunch of studly cool people. Brian Brushwood, Justin Robert Young. It's going to be nuts. Nerdtacular.com for details on how to stream that event when it happens. Right here from beautiful Snowbird, Utah. That's going to do it for us. Thank you guys for being here. We'll see you next time for a new episode of Comic Dorks. Until then, take care.
Is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.